take your seats. And again, good evening, all of you. I'm going to take not long this evening to share from just a few verses in Romans chapter 11. Here in Willowfield, we're looking at some passages in the book of Romans on Sunday evenings. So just a couple of verses this evening from Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given him a gift that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I had a conversation with someone this week. We were sitting just chatting and talking. This guy is somebody who's got his finger on the pulse in terms of what God is doing in different parts of Ireland, and indeed in other parts of the world as well. And we were sitting, sharing together. We were exchanging stories of lives being changed, and he was just telling me some of the things that he's aware of that are happening in different places, stories of people being healed physically from sicknesses and diseases. Did you know, if you're not a Christian, that God can heal people and does heal people physically today, miraculously? Stories, too, of people that were in a place of turmoil and unrest, and how God in his presence and by his Spirit poured something of his presence and something of his peace into their lives. Other stories of people who, because of their past, were overwhelmed by their past, who felt they couldn't move away from their past and who were in the grip of shame, who felt something of incredible guilt, and how whenever they became followers of Jesus, when they received Jesus into their lives, they were so forgiven that guilt was taken away and that shame was removed. Stories of people being touched in all sorts of wonderful ways by God the Holy Spirit. And as we were talking, my friend just turned to his Bible and he began to read these words that I've just read. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, who wrote these words, was aware that the Holy Spirit was at work in his life. Paul was seeing men and women become Christians and become followers from different nations and from different parts of the world. He was seeing new churches planted in different areas of the world. He was seeing the things that I've just mentioned. He was seeing miracles and healings and lives being transformed. He knew, too, that the Holy Spirit was at work in the early church, bringing about this life and this growth. And friends, for us this evening here in Willowfield, there are deep wells of resources, of spirituality, of the work of God, the Holy Spirit, deep wells of wisdom, deep wells of knowledge that are available to us in this place this evening. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. There is for us here tonight unending mercy. There is overflowing supplies of grace. There is incredible kindness available to us from the nail-pierced hands of God himself. There is strength for those who have been baptized tonight to keep the commitment that they've made and to follow Christ all their days. All the resources that they need are available to them in the Holy Spirit through the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. All the resources that you and I need to follow Jesus are available to us just as available to us tonight as they were to Paul. Every bit is available to us in 2018 as they were available to the Apostle Paul. There's no end to the resources that were Paul's in Christ Jesus, and there's no end to the resources that are ours in God as well. And God knows for us, as he knew for the great Paul, the end from the beginning. He knew Paul's end would be in prison. He knew that it would end in martyrdom. He knows our end as well as followers of Jesus Christ. He knows our future. He knows it clearly. He has it in his hands, and he holds us with security. There is no end to the knowledge of what God holds, and we can ask for knowledge tonight. We can ask for the gift of knowledge tonight. We can ask that God would guide us to follow him and to lead us into the future tonight. Whether you're a parent of someone who's been baptized, whether you're someone who's been baptized yourself, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not yet a follower of Jesus, you can get onto a road where you can be led and guided by the ways of God and by the Holy Spirit of God. There is guidance available for all of us this evening because God is full of wisdom. On the day of Pentecost, wisdom was poured out. The Holy Spirit was poured out in abundance. And so God is the one that you and I can entrust our futures to. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. We can trust him for the future, and we can entrust our future to him. We can make our future his, and he will give us the future that he is for us if we trust in him. Friends, 2,000 years ago, some incredible things happened. And because of familiarity with the story, we lose their impact. Some incredible things that are recorded for us in the Bible and indeed in other historical writings as well. Jesus Christ was put to death by execution. It was the cruelest form of execution that had ever been invented. It was invented by the Roman authorities of Paul's day, of Jesus' day. And Jesus Christ was put to death by execution on a cross, crucified. But we know that he died not just as a human being, but as the Son of God, and he died in our place. He died a sinless, perfect man. He died the sinless, perfect Son of God. He died for me, for me. And he died for you. And he died for all of us and for each of us. He paid the price, the full price. He was punished. He was put to death on that cross for all our wrong and the wrongdoing of the whole world. All our sin was nailed to the cross. 3 days later, he miraculously rose to life. Now, the God who raised his Son to life again is the God of miracles today and can do a miracle for you and in you and in this place and in your circumstances and in your life and for your good and for his glory. He was raised to life again. He burst from the tomb. He came back after having been dead for 3 days. He was raised to life again. 40 days later, the resurrected Jesus ascended to heaven. He was taken back to heaven. 10 days after that, he sent the Holy Spirit. God came to live in us. God came to live in every follower of Jesus Christ. in every disciple, in every Christian. So it would no longer be just Jesus in the world in the flesh, but actually God in every believer, God in every Christian, God in every follower of Jesus Christ. And tonight, those who have believed in Christ and were baptized, all of us who have believed in Jesus have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, he might want to have more of us than what he has, and we tonight might like to give more of who we are to him. That would be our privilege. That would be his delight. But the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. We read in Acts 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Something really remarkable happened on that first Pentecost day. We read when the day of Pentecost arrived. This is 10 days after Jesus had ascended back, 40 after his resurrection. We read they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound. Now, you maybe have heard this read so many times that it loses its impact. Put yourself in the room for a few moments back then. Suddenly there came from heaven, a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. My guess is if that was to happen here right now, there wouldn't be many sitting for very long. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That little phrase, they were all filled, is so, so important. You see, we, you, I, the whatever number, 12, 13, who were baptized tonight, all of us are those that God wants to fill more and more with his Holy Spirit by us giving more and more of who we are to his purposes, to his plan, to his availability, so that he would fill our lives, that he would soak our minds, that he would captivate our hearts, that he would have our wills, that we would throw off some of the restraints and some of the boundaries with which we do life, so that the Holy Spirit might have all of us. And then we would begin to do life within the boundaries of God and discover that there's so much freedom, so much joy, so much purpose, so much blessing, so much more. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? It's mind-blowing, is what we're being told here. Romans tells us, become a child of God, and God leads you. Become a child of God and God sets you free from old destructive ways. Become a child of God and be forgiven. Become a child of God and become a brand new person. Become a child of God and begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Become a child of God and know the power of God and the strength of God. He will keep your commitment until that day when Jesus takes you to heaven. He will keep, if you cooperate with him, he will keep you. He will go with you into some of the toughest places and some of the nastiest of situations and some of the most challenges of circumstances. Some of you know that I spent a little bit of time in South Korea and met some followers of Jesus from North Korea. I met one lady who had been moved from concentration camp to concentration camp to concentration camp as a follower of Jesus Christ. And in every one of those concentration camps, they were not able to keep God out, because God can go anywhere and goes everywhere with those whose hearts and lives are consecrated and given over to him. Not by trying harder to be a nicer person that you become a Christian. It's not by ticking some boxes that you become a disciple of Jesus. It's by receiving Christ into your heart and life as Savior, being born again of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming to take up residence in who you are. We're told here who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid. We bring nothing to the table in terms of saving ourselves, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Friends, every man and woman and young person in church tonight, the God created you in his image to enjoy a friendship and to enjoy a relationship with him. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, paid the price for your forgiveness on the cross. And incredibly, God himself, the Holy Spirit, will come and live in your heart if you invite him in. Since we have been justified by faith, Paul wrote, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just have to talk about these things, though it's fun to do that, but we get to enter into them and experience them for ourselves. On that very first day of Pentecost, when Peter preached his sermon, just after the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the church, just after the fire had fallen and the tongues of fire had come and the wind had blown through the place, Peter got up and he preached. And the crowd who were there turned to him and said, what should we do? What should we do? We read these words. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He goes on here, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. It might be that there's people in church tonight who have never been baptized. You've given your life to Jesus, you've repented, but you've never been baptized. It's getting late in the evening, only for that I'd suggest we do it now. But come back and we'll fix another time for it, okay? It is important that you obey the word of God in that way. It is, I'm not joking, it really is important to do that. But before any of that, there's one word. It's a very unpopular word today. You hear it in very few sermons. Very few sermons. You're going to hear it tonight. The word repent. The word repent. It means sorrow and brokenness for leaving God out of our lives. It means turning away from how we've lived our lives without Jesus Christ and without reference to God and without the Holy Spirit in us. And we give our lives over to Christ. We believe that he died on the cross in our place, that it was our sin that put him there. We open our hearts and our lives to him and we invite him in, and he comes in and he lives in us, and we're born of the Spirit. We become indwelt of the Holy Spirit, and we can go on then for the remainder of our lives being filled more and more and more and more with the Holy Spirit. But it starts with that one word, repent. Have you started? Have you begun? Have you begun the journey? Because you're not a Christian until you repent. And when you repent and then believe in Jesus Christ and then invite Him into your life, the Holy Spirit begins to work in you. And then you get baptized. Now, it was interesting. Most of them got really, really wet in there tonight. In fact, they all got very wet in there tonight. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get to be soaked in the Holy Spirit. You get to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You get to be drenched in the Holy Spirit. And that's what He wants to do in this place in all of our lives tonight. Not just a wee touch here and there, but He wants to baptize us, fill us, drench us, soak us with the life of who God is. Please stand. I've got a great wee book here. I've been given, or the church has been given some of them to give away at the end. Anyone that wants one, we'll keep giving them away until they run out. But I'm going to pray a prayer that comes at the back of this book. It's a prayer that anyone in church and everyone in church tonight should pray, okay? It's a prayer that if you're not a Christian yet and you pray, it indeed is the sort of prayer that will change your life. And if you're already a Christian, it's a prayer that's just about you getting soaked in more of God. Here it is. Humbly, honestly, I'm going to pray it slow enough for you to pray it quietly after me. Heavenly Father, thank You that You love me and have given Your Son to the cross for me. I am sorry for every way in which I have hurt You and grieved Your Holy Spirit. I repent of everything in my life that I know to be wrong. Just mention in the quietness anything that comes immediately to mind. There were some, and there were just things that immediately flashed to mind. Name those quietly before Him. Right now, I confess these sins to You and humbly ask You to cleanse me, Lord Jesus Christ, from all my sin. I give myself afresh to You. I want Christ to be Lord of every part of my life, my personal life, my family life, my social life, my work, my time, my money, my relationships, my ambitions, my all. I want to love You with all my heart. Jesus, I ask You to fill me, to baptize me, to soak me with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me with new life, new love, new joy, and new strength. Fill every part of my being as I humbly claim the promise of Your Son. Fill me that I may live and work to Your praise and glory. Thank You, Father. I believe that You've heard my prayer. I praise You and I worship You. Help me every day from this night onwards to go on being filled with Your Holy Spirit, that I may walk in Your ways all the days of my life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would the prayer ministry team come to the front?